Yeah, that one right there. You're so much more than lame jokes, Dad. But in honor of us, I have a few. Just a few. There's a couple more on the back wall there. And by the way, men, there are some Cracker Jacks there and a bottle of soda for you. Please don't eat the popcorn while I'm preaching. That's just going to be wrong in my mind. And I will probably come back there and snatch your popcorn. You can't eat popcorn without me, okay, especially sweet popcorn. I've got a sweet tooth. Anyway, so let's get into this. Two guys walked into a bar. I don't normally tell this kind of joke at church. Two guys walked into a bar, the third one ducked. Some of you are slow. I love you, but some of you are slow this morning. Oh, yeah, they've got their... Okay, here we go. When Peter was 16, he finally got his driver's license. In order to celebrate the special day, the whole family went out to the driveway and climbed into the car to enjoy his first official drive. However, Dad went to the back seat where he sat right behind his son. When Bob, the older son, saw this, he said, "Dad, you must be fed up with the front seat after teaching me how to drive all these years." "No," came a quick response from Dad. He says, "I'm going to sit back here so I can kick the seat. For you've been doing it to me for 16 years." Come on, dads. Can I get an amen? Okay. Why does that bothering so? Why does it bother us so much? You're going to use that one. You know, family is awesome. I think that's why today's special. We won't again. They made the announcement in the video. We don't have service tonight. We want you to be able to have some time with your family and be able to enjoy them. And so, hey, I've got a message this morning that is something I believe God's put on my heart. And so, I'm going to take you to an Old Testament passage of Scripture here in a little while. And I've never looked at it in this light before, but I'm going to take you there here in a moment. See this picture here? Raise your hand if you're grilling today. In honor of dads, yeah, come on. Going to be grilling. And ladies, we appreciate you and all the work that you put into everything. But look at that charcoal there. You know, it always fascinates me. Or maybe you like to sit around and watch a campfire. You know what happens? I mean, man, that charcoal or those coals there, they get so orange, don't they? And when they're real hot, but they burn down quite a bit, and they just stay so hot. But guess what? When those roll off to the outskirts, to the side, what happens to them? They cool off. That's right. And so this is my tying in. We're supposed to stay close to the fire, and I'm going to be trying to help you to understand what I'm saying here through this message this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6, Paul tells this young minister, he says, "This is why I remind you, Timothy, to fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid my hands on you." Number one, that's why we lay hands on one another, because there are spiritual things that are transferred, okay? But he was telling Timothy, he's saying, "Timothy, you got to work, you got to do your part of it too. You got to fan that. There's some things you might need to put in place, Timothy, into your life so that you can, so that that area can grow." Does that make sense? He's saying, you got to fan that. And you know, when a fire is not going very strong, it's just barely a flame, barely at all, you blow too hard and you blow it out. But if you blow just right, it gives it some strength, it gives it that the right amount of oxygen. And so that's kind of the idea that I'm going with this morning is, so I believe that there's a quote by John Wesley, man of God, years and years ago, and he said, "Light yourself on fire with the passion for Jesus, and people will come and watch you burn." And so that's kind of the connotation this morning. I'm going to take you, God showed up in with fire in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 2, where you know about this one if you've been in church much at all, the burning bush. It said, there an angel of the Lord appeared to Moses in a blazing fire from the middle of a bush. The bush did not burn up, though. Moses stared in amazement. Though the bush was engulfed in flames, it did not burn up. So we have another scripture that says our God is a consuming fire. So we understand that God is we stay close to him and we stay connected, right? Okay, Jesus put it like this. He said, I'm the vine and you're the branches. Apart from me, you can do nothing. You'd be severed from the vine. You wouldn't be connected to the source. God is the source. And at the same time, here, let's look at this one, Exodus chapter 19, verse 18. This is when God had just delivered his people out of Egypt. They crossed the Red Sea, and just some time later, God brings them up on the mountain, and he's giving them his commandments and the law. And here it says, all of Mount Sinai was covered with smoke because the Lord had descended on it in the form of fire. That's kind of awe-inspiring, isn't it? The smoke billowed into the sky like smoke from a brick kiln, and the whole mountain shook violently. Are you getting the picture? God is God. We almost can equate God with fire, and so this morning, I think that if we go back to the coals of a fire, if we go to Hebrews chapter 10. It says, and let us not neglect our meeting together. I picked a wonderful Sunday to preach about this, as some families are visiting dads somewhere else, or maybe they did something altogether different. Anyway, and let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. I think that this verse is in the Bible so that we stay close together and we stay hot. That's what I think this verse has to do with. It's not about attendance. It's not about how many people are here. It's about us staying close together, us staying hot. We know that the scripture says that iron sharpens iron. We challenge each other. We encourage each other. And guess what? God has given you gifts for this body that other people cannot provide. Listen, I refuse to believe that I'm the only one with giftings. God gives you gifts. God gives us gifts, right? And so it's all of those things involved. If we're a family, if we're the body of Christ, we are to work and we are to grow. We are to, again, I believe, stay in close relationship so that we are staying hot, so that we're on fire, so that we can, because guess what? The enemy, if he hasn't worked like this in your life yet, he will, I promise. He wants to get you offended at something. Uh-oh. Here he goes again. Smile at me. He wants to get you offended, upset about something. Doesn't matter what. That you can put those things down. The enemy wants you to get offended at something or get upset about this thing or that thing, or I can't believe they do it like that, or I think they should have, or even this one. Look at me and smile before. Even Pastor didn't shake my hand today. Listen, I want to, it's in my heart, but I can't get to everybody every time. If I miss you on a Sunday, forgive me, please. Just extend grace. But can I also say that goes both ways? Don't come up now and do it. It's not the right time. But it goes both ways, so you can't just be mad at me. I could in reality turn and say, you didn't shake my hand, now I'm mad. I'm not going to do that. I'm making a point. The enemy's going to give us all kinds of reasons to be upset, to get offended. Well, I can't believe. So then what's happened is because of the offense, because of whatever is upsetting you, you just take yourself away from the fire. And guess what just happened? You got cooled off. Anybody watch those nature shows, especially the ones of the animals on the desert in Africa, like the lions? Guess who they go after? The one that's over by themselves. We ought to learn from that, don't you think? But Pastor, I don't have to go to church to go to heaven. Okay. You still need something to keep you hot. And I think that God designed the church for that reason. To help us to grow, to help us to be discipled, to help us to learn how to seek Him, to learn how to pray, to be encouraged, to be challenged. Because guess what? There's times when you come and you're the encourager to somebody else. You may not even know it. Even you may never ever know it. And you might have encouraged somebody with the way that you responded to them in an encouraging and positive way. But then there's other Sundays or other times when you come and you're the one that's needing encouraging. Right? It goes both ways. We all experience that. We all have those times where things are going just fine, and there's other times where we're like, I don't know if I really want to be here today. You know? It's okay. But that's why we got to stay close. I think that's why that scripture is in the Bible. And now I want to take you to 1 Kings chapter 18 to try to illustrate this. 1 Kings, and I think I'm going to try to tell in a story instead of reading all these verses. So what had happened, Ahab was the king. He was not a godly king, not at all. He was the total opposite of that. One of the worst kings Israel ever had. And so what had happened, they began to worship other gods. In particular, Baal. And so Ahab was a prophet of God. Elijah, forgive me. Ahab was the ungodly king. Elijah was the prophet of God. And Elijah, God spoke to Elijah and said, prophesy that it will not rain. So he does. And he tells the people. And guess what? It doesn't rain. Hey, how long has it been since we had rain here? A week? So 7 days? I didn't look it up. I meant to. Maybe closer to 2 weeks? It was over 3 years it didn't rain there. 3 years. Why? Because of the way they were living. Can you believe that? That's mind-blowing. And so God speaks to the prophet and says, it's time. Get Ahab and the people. I'm going to move. I'm going to answer. And so Elijah goes and gets the word to the king Ahab. And Ahab summons all the people. And Elijah says, make sure to have all the prophets of Baal there. And there, I think, were 450 prophets of Baal. And there was actually 400 prophets of Asherah as well. And so It's showdown time is what it is. And this is an amazing, incredible story because it was the one prophet of God against these 450 prophets of Baal. And so they meet on Mount Carmel. And it's just this really interesting account. And so what happens is Elijah, he says, okay, here's how it's going to happen. Here's you prophets of Baal, you 450 prophets of Baal, I want you to build an altar, and I want you to make a sacrifice, an animal sacrifice, what they used to do. And I want you to make a sacrifice. I'm going to do the same. I'm going to make another sacrifice. I'm going to put it on the altar. We're just not lighting the fire. And what we're going to do is whoever's God answers by fire, that is going to be the real God. He says, can you put verse 21 up there? Verse 21, Elijah stood in front of everybody and he says, how much longer will you waver? Hobbling between two opinions. He's saying, today, church, today, Israel, you've got to make up your mind. Today, you've got to decide. And he says, if the Lord is God, then follow him. But if Baal is God, then why don't you follow him? But the people were completely silent. Do you know what I hear there? The people were completely indifferent. What are we even doing up here? Boy, were they getting ready to find out. They were indifferent. Okay. What's indifference? It's a nonchalant attitude. It's a mindset that, it's not that big of a deal. It's not important. Oh, it was important. It was the very reason that they didn't have rain for 3 years. So Elijah says, here, why don't you guys go first? Because he knew in his mind, whenever I go, it's over. Right? Because he knew who God was. Oh, but how can you be so confident? Isn't that arrogance, Pastor? To believe that your way is the right way? That your God is the right God? That Jesus is the only way? The only God? I didn't say it. He did. I'm just a messenger. But yeah, you can call me arrogant. You can call me bigoted. You can call me whatever. You can also call me pastor. It's just the way things are. You know, the demons know who God is, and they tremble. And that's what was going on the mountain that day. And so Elijah says, why don't you guys can go ahead and get started. It's morning time. It's morning time. And they make the sacrifice, and they do their thing, and then they start praying and doing their chants until about lunchtime. Nothing's happening. At lunchtime, evidently Elijah starts getting a little bit impatient. And he says a few things like, well, maybe he's taking a nap. Maybe he went on a trip. He even goes so far to say maybe he's relieving himself. I'm not making this up. Go read it. He starts kind of poking fun a little bit. Well, this kind of gets them upset. They get a little bit more intense. They start dancing. And it says they even start cutting themselves. Can I tell you that is demonic? That's not from God. That's not from God. But I know that in a group this size, there might be people who have experienced that and are dealing with that. I want you to know that Jesus is more than enough. And that isn't for you. That's a form of worship of the devil. Turn and just give God your praise. Turn and give God your heart. So it goes, they go on until about dinner time, around 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock. Nothing, not a word, not a response, not a noise, nothing from the prophets of Baal. All 450 of them. And Elijah says, all right, my turn. Look at here, come here. And he goes over and he begins to rebuild, it says, the Lord's altar that was already there that they had torn down. He begins to rebuild that. Now, what did the altar look like? The altar was some rocks, and they were not supposed to be rocks that were cut. They were just supposed to be natural rocks, and they would pile them up to make them somewhat flat, and then they would put the wood on there, and then they would put the animal. So Elijah says, all right. He has some folks have some jars. They had some. He said, get some large jars and fill them with water and pour it on there. And they do that, and then he says, all right, do it again. And then they do that, and he says, do it one more time. But in the meantime, he had dug a little trench around it, and so they had put enough water on there that it wet all the animal and all the wood, the stones, and even filled up the trench around the altar. How many of you think, how many people in the room, I'll go on this side right here. How many of you think I could get wet if I had one pitcher of water? Yeah. Raise your hand if you think I could get you wet from right here. Yeah. You guys keep going. Tyler, raise your hand, buddy. I think I can get you right. Yeah. Shh. If I aim it just right. Okay, so that should be just one pitcher. And they had like 12 jars. So I don't know how big the jar was. But that was a good amount of water, I would think. Wetting all that wood. How many of you tried to light wood that's wet on fire? But here Elijah, he's like, today you're going to know who God is. Right? This is exciting. Can you put verse 37 up, I believe it is? And he prays and says, God, he said, God, you're the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God, today would you answer me and prove that I'm your servant. And then he says this one in verse 37, oh Lord, answer me. Answer me so these people will know that you, O Lord, are God and that you have brought them back to yourself. You see relationship right there? Elijah had a relationship with God. And he wanted the people to know that. And the way Elijah saw this was that God was bringing the people back to himself, which is what it's all about. God, answer me. Let's go to the next one. Verse 38, immediately the fire of the Lord flashed down from heaven and burned up the young bull. That's not it. The wood, comma, the stones, comma, and the dust, period. It even licked up all the water in the trench. God answered by fire. Now, that's a wonderful story. Do you know, I believe with all my heart that God can still do those things today. If there was someone bold enough to stand up to everybody. But here's how I want to bring this back around. You see, there wouldn't have been 450 false prophets. Prophets of a false God. It wouldn't have been that if they had stayed close to the fire. Elijah would have never had to confront if people would have just stayed close. If people would have just stayed close to the Lord. If people would have stayed close to one another and sharpened each other and encouraged each other. There wouldn't have been a need for that confrontation on that mountain. Does that make sense? And it was because of indifference. And indifference says, it doesn't matter. You know, I don't have to go to church. I don't need to. Again, though, it's about you staying close to the Lord because the enemy, listen, Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 6, he says, we got to know the tactics of the enemy. We've got to know his schemes. Oh, it's pretty clear that he wants to get you off all by yourself. One, you cool off, and two, he can pick you off even easier. And then next thing you know, guess what? You can become a prophet of Baal. Does that make any sense? Is that resonating with you this morning that we've got to stay close to the fire? The Lord is the fire. And together we can continue to do that. And that's why I think the church is a wonderful and beautiful thing. And the church isn't this building, we're the church, right? And we can sharpen one another, we can encourage one another, and we can bring correction when correction's needed. The Bible says that if you see someone sinning, you should say something. But it says also, be careful that you don't fall into the same trap. Right? But we have this mindset in our world today that, you know what, they're going to do them and I'm going to do me. That doesn't fly really good in the church. You can't just believe whatever you want to believe. You cannot just act however you want to act here. Oh, it got quiet. I'm serious. Especially if you call yourself a member. I wasn't planning on talking about this part. But there's got to be some standards. And the Word of God is the standard. So this morning, I'm going to invite the worship team back up. You know, Maybe you've allowed yourself to cool off too much. Maybe you've been indifferent about things of the Lord. And Elijah's life kind of brings some heat back, doesn't it? Elijah's life and his that story, which I'll call it an account, that account there is challenging. Elijah had the backbone to stand up against everybody else, it felt like to him. That wasn't the reality. God still had 7,000 people that were still following him. But to Elijah, it felt like he was all alone. But he stayed close to the Lord. And then the people, they fell face down before God when God answered by fire. And they repented. They repented and they came back to God. So listen, if there's been something in the way, that whether it's that indifference or whether you've just gotten cold and didn't even realize it, or maybe there's something else in the way, the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart. And you need to repent. The altars are right here. God wants to answer you today like he answered Elijah. You see, the scripture says that Elijah was a man like every other man. In other words, God has no favorites. He can hear you just as he heard Elijah. He can answer you just as he answered Elijah. So this morning, the Lord's tugging on your heart. You need to let go of indifference. You want to say, God, I want to be, set my heart on fire with a passion for Jesus. Then these altars are open. We're going to worship. We're going to seek his face. So let's move out. If that's you, come on up.
Draw me close.
If that's you,
to you,
move on out. Listen, we're not judging anybody for coming up.
Never
because we're all in the same
boat. close to you.
Let him draw our hearts back to him daily. Daily. Jesus is incredible. He still does amazing things. Anybody believe that? He still does miracles. He still does miracles. How do I know that? Because his spirit, his Holy Spirit hasn't left the earth. And that's one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, is miracles, along with many other gifts. Gifts of healing, discernment between spirits, tongues, interpretation of tongues, words of wisdom, words of knowledge. What am I missing? I think there's one or two that I skipped. I was bouncing around there. Thank you, that was it. Gift of prophecy. Man, God's great. He works in all kinds of different ways, and he can make a whole lot out of very little. And sometimes that's all we have to give is very little, huh?
Amen.
Let's pray. Father God, I'm so proud of this church. I love these wonderful people. And I ask you, Heavenly Father, to draw each one of us back to you, into a closer, into a tighter relationship with you. Lord, and even with each other, the Bible says, as we see, even as we see the day approaching, the day of the Lord, the time coming to an end, we've got to gather together even more. And so, Lord, let us be encouraging to one another. Let us challenge one another. Let us sharpen one another. Let us help equip one another, Lord, for service and for ministry. We just thank you, Lord. We love you for your goodness. We love you for your grace. Thank you for the cross of Calvary and the precious blood of Jesus. Now, Holy Spirit, I ask that you would just go with your people. Let your hand and be upon them. May your face smile upon them. God, encourage, draw them to yourself. Lord, I give you the praise. Lord, provide everything that your people need this week. And we just look to you. We honor you. You are the source, and we want to keep it all about you, Lord Jesus. May you be the center of everything. And it's in Jesus' precious name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Again, happy Father's Day. Dads, don't forget the Cracker Jacks back here. God bless you all.